We welcome you to this week's service from Mooresville United Methodist Church. God plants us in various places all throughout our lives. As He tends to us, as His garden, He compels us to also sow seeds where we are planted as well. Pastor Glass elaborates on this in this week's sermon entitled Seed and Soil. We will now join her with this week's service.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Mooresville United Methodist Church. My name is Beth Glass, and I'm the pastor here, and I'm truly honored that you are joining us for worship today, whether you are here in person or joining us online. I pray everybody will find this to be a warm and welcoming experience that draws us closer to God and closer to one another. If you're new to our church family and you're joining us in person, I'd like to extend a special word of welcome to you, and I invite you to pay attention to the visitor cards that you'll find in the pew rack. If you'd like to fill out one of the cards and provide whatever information you're comfortable sharing, we'd be grateful for that because it gives us an opportunity to get to know you a little bit better. If you do fill out one of the cards, we invite you to hold on to it until later in the worship service when the ushers will be passing around the offering plates. You can place it in the offering plate at that time, and we thank you for that. If you're new to our church family and you're joining us online, welcome, and we invite you to take a minute to introduce yourself to us by sending an email to the church office and letting us know a little bit about who you are and where you're from. Our office email address is mooresvilleumc@verizon.net. There are a lot of things going on in the life of our church, and I do encourage you to follow us on Facebook or to visit our church website so that you can stay up to date with upcoming events and activities.
Good morning, church.
Morning.
Our first reading today is from Genesis 25, verses 19 through 34. Hear these words. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel of Aramea of Padam Aram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer, and his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The elder shall serve the younger." When her time to give birth was at hand, there were twins in the womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out with a hand gripping Esau's heel, and he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore him. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skilled hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I am famished." Therefore, he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I am about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and he drank and he rose and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jim.
And now, today's message.
Our gospel reading for today comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then 18 through 23. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, for they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of this age and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated, please. So I do want to welcome all of you again, and I thank you for joining us for worship today. I am so glad that you're here, and I pray each of us will find something in our time together that helps us follow Jesus more faithfully in the coming week. Many of you may have noticed as you were coming into the church the beautiful flower beds that we have on our church property. They brighten our entrance, and they remind us that summer is in full bloom. And I want to take a moment to thank all of those who work on those flower beds, tending them and planting and caring and weeding and pruning and watering. Beautiful flowers don't just simply appear. Someone has to prepare the soil, right? And remove the weeds and plant the seeds and water them and then patiently wait for growth. As I was thinking about those flower beds this week, I realized that they provided a wonderful introduction to today's gospel lesson, where Jesus tells a story about seeds. But perhaps even more importantly, Jesus tells a story about soil. And that's what we're going to look at. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. So Jesus tells the parable of a farmer who goes out to sow some seeds, and some fall on the path, and some fall among thorns, and some fall on good soil, and they produce abundantly. And when Jesus explains the parable to his disciples, we discover that the seed is God's word, and the different soils represent conditions of the human heart. And for many years, I heard the parable almost as a warning. Don't be rocky soil. Don't be thorny soil. Instead, be good soil. And I think there's some truth to that understanding of the parable. But this week, another thought occurred to me. Good soil doesn't just happen. Some of you are gardeners, right? And you know that that is the case. Good soil doesn't just happen. Somebody cultivates it. Someone removes the rocks. Somebody pulls the weeds. Somebody enriches the soil. And from a Wesleyan perspective, in the soil of our hearts, that someone is God. Long before we ever respond to God's work in our hearts and in our lives, God is already at work. God's prevenient grace cultivates the soil of our hearts. God's grace softens what has become hardened in us. God's grace removes the stones of bitterness and fear and pride. God's grace patiently pulls the weeds that choke our spiritual lives. God's grace keeps working even when we can't see it, just like the growth happened in Little Seed in the children's sermon. The question isn't whether or not God is cultivating things in our hearts and in our lives. The question is, are we willing to cooperate with the master gardener? If we are willing to do so, how are we to do that? John Wesley would talk about the means of grace, the ordinary ways in which God works in our hearts and lives to cultivate the soil of our hearts. Those are things like prayer and worship and communion and Christian fellowship, acts of mercy and acts of service. And those practices don't earn God's love, but they place us in a position where God's grace can continually be at work cultivating the soil of our hearts. Every time we pray, every time we gather for worship, every time we open up scripture, every time we serve another person, we are saying, Lord, keep working on me and in my heart. Now, you all know that I am not a gardener. You know I can't stand the feeling of dirt underneath my fingernails. And anytime somebody gives me a plant, there's a good chance that I will kill it. But here's the thing that I find fascinating about gardens and what I find fascinating about healthy plants. Healthy plants don't keep their seeds. They naturally spread them, right? A healthy sunflower produces a multitude of seeds. A healthy maple tree scatters thousands of seeds every year. Flowers don't have to be convinced to reproduce. It just is what healthy plants do. And I think that disciples are much the same. As God's grace continues to be cultivated in our lives, something beautiful begins to happen. We naturally become followers of Jesus who plant seeds in others. Seeds of kindness, seeds of encouragement, seeds of forgiveness, seeds of hope, seeds of faith. Not because someone forces us to do that, not because we're checking off items on our Christian to-do list, but because healthy disciples naturally scatter seeds wherever God has planted them. And that thought reminds me of a man whose name is Vic Blends. Have any of you heard about Vic? Vic is one of the best-known barbers in the country. But what fascinates me about him is not just his haircutting ability, it's the name of his business. He calls his business Planted. That's an unusual name for a barber's business, isn't it? For Vic, that name is a reminder that God has planted him exactly where he is for a purpose. I encourage you to look him up and watch some of his videos because they are inspiring. Vic tells the story of how all of this unfolded. He began cutting hair when he was going into his senior year of high school as a way of raising money for college and in hopes that when he was in college, he would be able to make money in the dorm by cutting other students' hair. He was charging $5 for a haircut at that time. And he said, as he was doing that, he heard God's voice for the first time in his life, clearly speaking to him and saying to him that if he fully devoted himself to barbering, God would open doors for him. And so instead of going off to college, he went to school to become a barber. And as his skill grew and his reputation grew, he moved to Atlanta and he began cutting hair of athletes and rappers and musicians. And he was receiving $100 per haircut. And God kept opening one door after another until 2019. And you remember what happened in 2019. COVID. And it shut down his business entirely. And he listened and he heard God speaking to him again. And so what he began to do was to go out and offer free haircuts for a good conversation. And one-on-one conversations that changed the hearts and lives of people who were sometimes going through some of the loneliest and most isolating days of their lives. His barber chair has become more than a place to cut hair. It's become a place to encourage people, to listen to them, to pray with them, to remind people that they matter and that God loves them. God first cultivated the soil in Vic's own life, and now Vic spends his days planting seeds in the lives of others. Now, most of us will not become famous barbers, and most of us will not influence millions of people online as Vic Blends has done. But every one of us has been planted somewhere. Some of us have been planted in families, some in schools, some in workplaces, some in neighborhoods, some in this church. The question isn't whether God has planted us. The question is, what seeds are we planting where God has placed us? So this week, I'd invite us to do two simple things. First, let the master gardener keep cultivating the soil of your own heart. Spend time in prayer. Read God's word. Worship. Serve. Spend time in small groups and fellowship with one another. Don't resist the work that God wants to do within you. But then the second thing I'd encourage you to do is wherever God has planted you this week, scatter a few seeds. Offer a word of encouragement. Forgive someone. Pray with a friend. Invite someone to church. Show kindness to a stranger. Listen to someone who is hurting. You may never know which seed God will use to change a life. When you leave worship today, you'll walk past those beautiful flower beds again. And I hope you enjoy them. But even more, I hope they will remind you of something. Remember the master gardener who is patiently cultivating your heart. And then ask yourself one simple question. Where has God planted me, and what seed of grace can I sow this week? Will you pray with me, please? Gracious God, thank you for being the master gardener of our lives. Continue to cultivate our hearts by your grace. Remove whatever keeps us from bearing fruit, and help us to faithfully plant seeds of hope, love, and faith wherever you have planted us. And we trust you with the harvest, for we know that you alone give the growth. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to join me in affirming our faith as we join together in reciting the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As those who plant seeds of faith and hope and love, let us use this time to offer up our tithes and our offerings. If you do choose to support the church financially, we thank you for your generosity. And whether you're in person or online, there's also an opportunity for electronic giving if you choose to do that. And again, we thank you for your generous support. I send you out to plant seeds of God's grace wherever God has planted you. And I send you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's service. Mooresville United Methodist Church has services at 10 a.m. every Sunday. You can participate along with us either in person or online via our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/MooresvilleUMC. If you'd like to support Mooresville United Methodist Church financially, there are a variety of ways. You can give in person, online at www.easytithe/MooresvilleUMC, or by texting donate to 540-300-1616. Sermons can also be seen via the church website at www.mooresvilleumc.org. Audio versions of past sermons get uploaded to the church website regularly. If none of these options work for you, you can listen to the sermons on the radio on 97.9 FM in the church parking lot. In unprecedented times like these, we pray for your safety and we remind you that the road you travel always leads you home. Have a blessed day.